Record. Okay, right. Welcome to the Twisted and Misunderstood podcast. Erin Weaveley, she's a fantastic lady. She's written lots of books and she gets involved in helping people and mentoring and really helping you manifest the things that you want to manifest. So, with that in mind, hello, Erin.
Hi, Dominic. Thank you for having me today.
Wow, it's great. It's so nice, isn't it, that we can do this over this distance so we can get it right.
It's perfect. I'm so excited.
Okay, brilliant. I want to ask, I'm going to go straight into the little bits and pieces, but I've been doing a little bit of research on you and I'm really impressed and I love the way how you talk and how you think, because you think so differently and I love that. You know, I heard you say to someone on a podcast, right, and I'm going to quote it, that there are no young souls. So tell me what you mean by that, because so many people get caught up in time. So It sounds like you don't. So what?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. Thank you. So you have been doing your research. So I think there's such a tendency, because we are born here on Earth as humans, and we are really programmed or conditioned from a young age to see ourselves as young. Right? When we're little, we have to look to everyone around us to tell us what the right things are to do. We aren't trustworthy. Our own inner guidance is not a trustworthy compass. This is what we are told by our parents, by society, not necessarily out of a desire to hold us back from what's capable, but just simply because they want to keep us safe. And so we are very programmed that we are little and insignificant. For the most part. Of course, there's always exceptions to the rule. I certainly was programmed or conditioned by society at large that I was little and insignificant, and I grew up with almost no self-esteem at all. Okay. And so
the whole nature of us being brought up is that we are programmed. We're programmed mm-hmm. from the moment we're born through to school, to what we listen to the hymns we sing, to the thoughts we have, even to the point of trying to tell us that we need to be ambitious. Mm-hmm. All these things
are
all programmed. So I really get what you're saying, really get. And I also get the fuller picture of what you're saying to me. But what's this about no young souls?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important, though, to see that that's why we are so eager to glom onto these terms. Someone's an old soul, someone's a young soul, right? Because we see ourselves in general, especially towards the beginning of our journey of learning about what's really going on in the world, learning the mysteries of the universe, as I say, we're very susceptible to other programs or ideas that will keep us in that pattern of less than. Perfect. And so I think that's why it's so important to look at the full picture, because I could answer you and then we'd be like, well, okay, that'll make sense to some people, but to some people they'll say what? Yeah, with young souls, it's, listen, we are all God. That's my thing. That's what I talk about. That's what I do. When somebody says we are all one, or we all come from source, we're all fractals of source, what they are essentially saying is that we are all God. That's inside of us. That's what our inner voice and our inner guidance is and is coming from, which means the wisdom of the universe is within each and every one of us and within each and every one of our souls. There are no young souls, there are no old souls. There might be souls that have less physical world experience, but that does not mean that they do not have the same ability to access the ancient wisdom of the universe.
Fantastic, I agree. And I so love that you think that way. So how do you see time?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at time. There's the very traditional, we're here in the physical world, and of course things seem to go in a very linear fashion. But What I see when I step back and I look at things from a quantum perspective, from a spiritual world, a universal perspective, where we're no longer dealing with the physical world, where we are using our minds as a portal to access this infinite wisdom, this ancient wisdom, this always wisdom of the universe. When we do that, we can literally see that all things are happening at once. That I do a lot of energy work, a lot of light work. I teach light work, and I teach people that you can go back to any point in your life and you can make a huge change. It's amazing. I was at my mom's house yesterday, and she had gathered up a bunch of photos from when I was a little girl. Like ranging from, birth to about 18 years old. And she wanted me to take this packet home. And I said, well, I'm not taking it home. Let's leave it here. The kids can look at it. My kids can look at it when they come over. And I started thumbing through some of the pictures though. And I came on a picture, and I think I was graduating eighth grade. And I was so miserable. I was standing next to my mom, who is a wonderful woman, but I was so miserable. I mean, my frown was, it was so pronounced, and it was
Erin,
just like I
let
had.
me build a picture for my, because we're in the UK here as well. You mean, how old were you in eighth grade? Sorry to be ignorant.
No, I think I was probably about 13, 14.
13. So, that equate to eighth grade. We can think about it in different terms, but it's great. Isn't it funny? We speak the same language, yet we seem to have so many things that we don't quite get in the same level. So about 13, and you were really miserable.
Yes, I was really miserable. Now, I had a very rough time in school. I was bullied incessantly because I just didn't have any self-confidence. I had no knowledge of standing up for myself. So I had a very, very hard time in school. And you could really see that on my face. And my first indication when flipping through these pictures was just to hide it, to put that picture away and keep going and look for the younger pictures where I still was really happy in them. And I did that. And so after a few minutes, I realized, oh, I have to pick that picture back up and go back in that moment in time, right now, as if it's right now, and rewrite that story and put a different look on my face. And so I did that, and I do that all the time. I
I
don't
love this.
see,
I
yeah, I
love
don't
this going
see.
back and changing circumstance. Because it's the circumstance you're living through, isn't it? It's, you mean, there's a question that comes to my mind, right? And we're just going to have a really nice conversation here, okay? If you could go and write yourself a letter to your 13-year-old self, what would you tell your 13-year-old self? Because you've grown up to be this fabulous person that's got this amazing way of thinking that is far advanced to so many people that don't really get it. They only get the one dimension. And you've got so much more than that. You've got that real big take on things. So, but would you want to tell yourself that at 13?
Well, you know what I do?
I'd love to
I
hear.
so I use light work all the time to go back to my previous self in this lifetime and many others. And it's essentially you can do a thing where sometimes we'll have experiences in our lives when we're going through something difficult and we'll feel like there's a presence in the room with us or there's an angel with us, right? And we can actually be that for our younger self or for our future self. We can go there and speak to them. We can go there and tell those versions of ourself the things we wish we knew then. And that changes the course of events for us today and for the future us. So, have I gone back there? Yes. And that's why I continue to move forward so quickly and so rapidly in my life. Every time I go to my past and speak to myself, I quantum leap where I am today and I keep moving quickly, quickly, quickly. So, anyway, what I would tell my 13-year-old self, what I have told my 13-year-old self, and what I told my 13-year-old self again yesterday when I went back is simply that trust yourself. Because I was always that girl that was so afraid to be called on by the teacher. I didn't want anyone asking me questions because I was so afraid if I answered it, I would get it wrong. And so I was so afraid to speak my truth, speak the things that came to me. I try. So anyway, that has changed my life, just deciding that it's safe for me to speak the things that come to me.
So good and so right as well. And I can so relate. I won't talk about my story, but your story is very close to my own. So I love the fact that that's there. I'm going to flip the question on its head though, now, Aaron. And I'm going to ask you, what would you tell your future self? Say you go forward to your 70th birthday. Now, that might be quite a long way off for you. It's not too far off from me, okay? But what would you tell yourself? What you want to tell yourself, from now, so that 70-year-old self of yours remembers who you are today. What would you tell yourself there?
That is a hard one. Now I go to my future selves, and I get wisdom from them, right? And it is just something that I've started to even think about. When I go to them for wisdom, I should be sharing wisdom as well. And so I wish I could say like I have this brilliant answer
I
that I
don't
would
want a
give you,
brilliant
but
answer.
I
I want
don't
an honest
know.
one.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would tell my future self. I feel like, I could think, well, yeah, gratitude, but my future self is going to have a lot of gratitude. All I can think is I would say, I'm so grateful for everything that you've done, every single step of the way, for because I know my future self is going to continue to trust in the universe and in the unseen, and we're going
See,
to
there
keep
is,
going amazing
yeah.
places.
Absolutely. There's a train of thought that says you are that person right now anyway, because we can tap into everything we've ever have been, everything we're going to be. And the chances are you're multidimensional, your soul is multi times over who you are. And when you tap into that soul part of you can tap into all that information that's available. It's just about being calm, isn't it? It's that
Well,
calmness.
I
Yeah.
think calm and making the space for it, making the time, because we can be calm but not making space and time. For me, like my psychic gifts, they weren't turned on when I was born, like some people's are. I had to really decide that I was going to activate those things within me, and it was calm, yes, but really making that space and being okay with having that space be empty in the beginning, having the pain of not hearing yet, of not seeing yet, and not allowing yourself to give up because you feel that pain of not having activated it yet. Does that make sense? I feel
Oh,
like
absolutely
you
sense.
can hold
It's
that space.
a good way of thinking, and I like the way that everything's conjoined. Nothing is actually left in one place. Everything is built within each other. So it's like the Russian doll, isn't it? We can sort of turn it inside out, but we can only fit it back together one way. So it's all that path that we take within our own structures that allow us to be able to connect to people to share with them. Because all we can do is share with them what we actually know to be true. Because this brings me on to another part of, something that I heard you say to somebody else was about truth, that there is no truth. And that really resonates with me because we all have our own truth, don't we? It's all individual. So tell me, how did you come to that sort of realization?
So great question. So in
Another great question.
2011,
I'm
my
making a
book's out
habit of
here,
these.
One Truth. You're a great question asker, question poser. So back in 2011, I started talking to God in my head. And God told me that there was only one truth, the highest truth in the universe, and everything else is created or stems from this truth. It's that we are all one and we are all God. Okay, which means that we all have infinite creative power available to us, flowing through us. So, if we understand that, we understand that everything else can be recreated. The only thing that cannot be recreated by our thoughts is the truth that at our core we are God and that our thoughts create limitlessly. Limitlessly, limitlessly, limitlessly.
Now, run this
Which
back by
means,
me, Erin, because I'm with you with what you're saying. I'm really on the same understanding as you, very clearly. But I want to know, first of all, how you think God is, because we are all God, and I agree with that. But it's not enough for me to say I talk to God. All right. I want to know what you talk to. What is this God? Is it energetic energy? Is it source? Is it universal? What is this entity that you put these three little letters on and call it God? Who is it? What is it?
So yeah, it's what many people describe as source, the first,
Okay.
the one creator from which all other things stem.
So the
Yes.
creator. This is
The
the
creator of
creator
everything.
of the
God,
universe?
God, source, creator, God.
Okay.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Everything has been created by this, all that is. So it is all that it is. Yes, has it created everything? But everything is it. I also believe the physical world isn't real, that universal mind and the spiritual world, which is simply the unseen world, is what's real. And so that everything we're experiencing here is an illusion, a temporary illusion, a dream, and that one day we will go back to the spiritual world and we can access it anytime we want. Now, when we go to the spiritual world from the physical world to access it in that state of calm with that intention for ancient eternal wisdom, we can access whatever we want to access. We can access source, creator, God. We can access the angelic realm. We can access lower vibrational beings. We can access any soul that has ever existed. We can access, and that is just the start, right? So it's all about our intent. Our intention is what creates our experience in the spiritual world. So when I speak to God, it's my intention to speak to God. And so I know that my intention comes through. I know because I've built my knowing over 11 years now. And I know that I can access the angelic realm. I know that I can access star beings. Because I have over and over again, but I also know they all have different voices. They all seem
okay.
different.
So let me come in here because, you know, I mean, there's a few things that I'm very interested in as well. Yeah, I'm curious to a huge degree. And I love the fact that you're talking about this stuff, but I want to slow you down so we can explore bits and pieces of it. I don't want just to whoosh by it and not get to the bottom of some of this stuff. Really, if I was to paraphrase what you've just said to me, you would say to me, everything is thought. If you can
Yes.
think it, you can become it, you can manifest, and you can do anything you want if you can have your thoughts on the right frequency. Would you agree with that?
Yes, my firm knowing for me, and of course, like you referenced earlier, it's all our own individual perception, right? And we're all experiencing a slightly different reality, and that's okay. That's as it should be. For me, my firm knowing is that thought is the origin of everything, and thought creates the energy. And the energy is the bridge between the spiritual world of universal mind and our physical selves.
Let me
So
ask
that's
you something
how I see it.
On that thought, okay? How patient are you?
Well, that depends. I have certainly cultivated a lot of patience, but I also am human and I am okay when I have to feel emotions that are unpleasant and not based around patience. So I've had to cultivate that as well.
So,
so it depends.
So how patient are you, Laura? Aaron? How patient?
It depends.
Okay, are you patient? Can you be? I'm sure that, yeah, I mean, you're a mum, you've got your lovely children, and I'm sure you've got infinite patience with your children. You're also married, and I'm sure you haven't got quite so much infinite patience with your husband, because I'm also married and I understand the dynamics of where we are. The understanding of spiritual for me is that we're used to manifesting. We're not used to waiting. If we can actually manifest something in our thoughts, in our mind, we want it. We want that orange in our hands. We want to manifest it right now. So we're not really that keen on waiting for things to happen. We sort of have the ideas. And why haven't they come? Why aren't they here in front of us? And that's why I asked you the question, because you've got so many thoughts. I mean, you know, I'm an aura reader. You know, I pick up on people's energy. I know what people are saying to me, and I can tell by the colors through their voice, how they're speaking to me, whether they're engaged or not. So I know how engaged you are. It's your passion. It's your total utter understanding of who you are. And I think that's amazing that you have that. I love it. I wish that more people had that way of thinking, because it's an amazing way of thinking. But there is also a human life to live, isn't there? So
yeah.
We have to, and I think about life as being balance. We have to balance the ability to be in a human life, a mortal life, and also understand the properties of manifestation and creation and thought, because that's where everything comes from. And that's how we have our ideas, because there is no knowledge. It's just what people say. So the bits that we need to discover is the new knowledge. And people like yourself are going to be able to bring that new knowledge through. I absolutely, totally believe that, because we can go back in the old knowledge, can't we? We can stay firmly with our feet on the ground and just follow what other people say. And we can stay in the 1900s of the seances and throwing coins and all the other bits and pieces. But it's the new knowledge that I'm interested in. And I saw your book, and it's full of new knowledge. Yeah, it's amazing. So would you like just to talk about your book for a second and tell us a little bit about what motivated you to write it? And also, what's in there? What can people find if they pick up your book? And what's it called?
Oh boy, this is hard because I wanted to talk about patience, but okay. So my book
is like, yes, be patient, we'll come back to it, all right?
Okay, so my book is One Truth, One Law. I Am, I Create, and it's available on Amazon in all the countries that Amazon is. Paperback, ebook, and audio on Audible. And it is essentially a series of conversations that my husband Phil and I had in 2011 when I first started talking to God in my head, which we call I Am. And of course, this is available and able to be accessed by all of us. Every single human on the planet can access this wisdom. And that's part of my book, is showing people that essentially they've been lied to their entire lives, to be told that they are small and insignificant, when the truth is the wisdom of the universe is within us, the inner guidance within us. If we begin taking little steps forward based on it, will take us places we could never have even imagined. It's amazing how the universe has fit together to guide us on this magical journey. So that's my book. It is amazing. I highly recommend it.
I've read it, so I know it's very interesting. And I went through it piece by piece just to see what was there and what was involved in writing that book. Because being a writer myself, I know that we want to get those books written so quick. How long did it take you to write it?
So it's literally transcripts of conversations from 2011. And what happened was I was, you know, essentially the guidance while we were transcribing these conversations was to put the book out there, whether we just put it on the internet, whether we made it an ebook, you know, ebooks were very new at the time, just to get it out there. And I said, no way, if I do that, my parents won't invite me to Christmas anymore. I will be banished from the family. I just had all these big fears, all these reasons why I couldn't follow my inner guidance. And that went along for many, many years. My husband and I struggled for many, many years. We were homeless for a while. Eventually, we went to nursing school. We became nurses. My daughter was born. And she wasn't able to take a bottle. She would just refuse it. So my husband was bringing her to my job three times a shift to nurse her. And it was not sustainable. We were sort of falling apart.
Yeah, sure.
And so I had to quit my job, and then we're just on his income, and things started going very badly with his job. And he was supposed to come in the next day because they were going to fire him. And I started panicking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with no income? There's no way I can go back to work with the way my daughter was at that young age. And so I was desperate. I dug those transcripts out of the basement because I remembered how they made me feel.
Brilliant.
Right? They made me feel powerful. And I read them that afternoon because it's short. It's a couple hour read, you know, about two and a half hours. And I said, oh my gosh, I've created this situation. After I left my job, I was so worried about money because we were down to one income, that I created all these things because his job had been going fine until I quit mine. I created the situation. Well, let's see, we have till tomorrow morning. Let's see if I can't rectify it. So I used what exactly was in these transcripts to start repeating to myself over and over and over again, Phil's job is going great and Phil's bosses love him. And I didn't have much time, so I just did it nonstop. And I also didn't know yet how to overcome those subconscious thoughts. So I just drowned them out with repeating this nonstop because I was so scared. Yeah. Sure. So I wasn't in a good vibration. I wasn't in a good anything, but all I had were these thoughts and I just repeated them over and over and over and over and over again until he went to this meeting the next day. And while he was in the meeting, I kept repeating them, these two sentences nonstop. And he calls me afterwards and he said, Aaron, what happened? I walked in there, they shook my hand, they told me they were so happy with the great job I'd been doing, and they asked if I had any advice for them on how they can run the company better. Now, he was a lowly nurse at a $1 billion company, so you can imagine in most situations, they're not looking for the lowest person on the totem pole to give them advice about how to run the company better. But that's what happened, and I was awakened again to my power that I had been so afraid of. At that point, it was 7 years earlier. And so I said, well, we've got to put this out there. I also, 2 weeks later, I decided I was going to get him a raise to like a ridiculous amount that no nurse made at the time in our area. And I did it within 2 weeks. He had gotten this humongous raise. And their explanation for it was, oh, well, we see that you have a wife and a young child and your wife is pregnant again. So we just would really like to help you out. Please don't tell your coworkers. He didn't ask for the raise. They just called him in and offered it.
See, it's the power of affirmation. All you're doing is putting that affirmation after affirmation after affirmation on the frequency that works. Mm-hmm. And it's such a thing that you can manifest what your desires are, what your will is, what you actually want. And if people realize that, then the world would be so much nicer, wouldn't it? Because we'd all be fulfilled. We would all be working for what we wanted to do. And we'd all be able to create our own reality. Now, that's basically what your book talks about, isn't it? It's about creating your own reality through thought.
Absolutely. It really highlights how we have been creating our own reality through thought, whether we realize it or not.
No, we do.
Right?
Absolutely. We can, totally.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so, yes.
Yeah. Even so this conversation right now, it's been created because we thought that it'd be a good idea to have this conversation. And everybody that's going to listen across the world is going to be able to access your information through your book, come onto your website, which I think is weareallgod.com. If I'm right,
it's AaronWorley.com.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'll send it to you.
Okay, no, that's
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, we need to have that for the program notes. But the important part of it is that people can access it. They've just got to have the thought and the affirmation, mm-hmm. just like you did with your husband, just like you created around his work. And I would imagine that you didn't stop there. I should imagine you probably have quite a few other examples of what you've created in your life since that moment, because that's what I call a light bulb moment. Everything goes off in your head and you think, why me? Why did I realize this? Why did I get this to be in the way that it's now? And that light bulb would have created many more thoughts and many more affirmations. So what else have you manifested in your life that is full of joy through thought?
Well, I would say that just, first of all, I see everything differently now, right? I see everything literally as my creation. My experiences throughout the day are my creation. So that includes the ones that I don't like. Those ones that I don't like that happen throughout the day, I can look at them instead of saying, ugh, I'm mad at you. Why is my day sucking today? You know, instead of doing that, I can look at it and say, okay, what is this here to teach me? What can I learn from this so that I can move forward and create more of what I do want?
Is right? that a because, big part of your life? Do you do that?
Oh gosh, yes.
Give me an example of doing that. When was the last time something really sucked and got in your way and you thought like that and you actually came through it by thinking, how can I learn from this situation? Give me an example.
Oh, this is multiple times a
Okay,
day,
what I'll
but it
do.
also allows you to really redirect, to change course, to get back into that vibration and those feelings that you want quickly. But a big example is something, because I have such a controversial book, I will sometimes get emails from people who are very upset that I wrote those words because they really are being triggered, right? They were
Understand
led
that.
to it, right? They were
Yep.
led to it because they needed to have some sort of experience that would open them more. And that experience begins with anger. And that's okay. And so it came to me because I was holding fear that another person one day would send me that email. And so it's showing me that I don't need to have those thoughts anymore. Right? If I can create that nasty email coming to me, I can create 10 beautiful emails coming to me. And it's my choice what I decide to hold the thoughts and frequency of.
Absolutely sure. I totally get that. And it would never have occurred to me that anyone could see your book in anything other than a positive and amazing light, because it's there for people to open their minds and give them an alternative. But maybe it's because people are so programmed in to believe in certain things that they can't go past what they're programmed into. And that's why we get that. And something I learned very early on doing this work, and I've been a professional now for 22 years doing this and writing profiles for people and all sorts of stuff. And I learned that never read what people write about you, whether it's good or whether it's bad, because
Well, that's another thing, is the more attention we give to the thoughts of other people about us, the more we're giving away our power to create who we are, right? And so that's a big part
absolutely.
of it too.
I knew you would relate to that. And I knew you'd find that a really, strong thing. And you've come to that purpose because I don't think that ego does us any good. And I don't think feeling down does us any good. So we don't need people to say how wonderful we are because we know that. And we don't need people to tell us how bad we are because we've been there. We know that too. So we've found that equilibrium within our lives that allows us to be who we truly are. And that resonates with our soul. And if that resonates with our soul, then the new knowledge will come through because it's the new knowledge. I'm very much about people bringing new knowledge to the world. And
Me
you're one
too.
of, yeah, because we can live in old truths. See, I mean, we don't need people. I saw you say something else as well. Okay. I've done a lot of watching you. Yeah, it's extremely strange to see you in front of me right now, but I've done a lot of listening to you talk, and you talk so much sense. I hope we can be friends for many years to come. There's sense in what you say, but you said something which I thought was really nice. You said, I don't need people to be on my journey forever. I just need them to be there for that moment. And when that moment's passed, I can move past that and somebody else will come in. Can you explain that a little bit? Because I'm fascinated by that concept. And it's so, I think it's such a spiritual thing to think. It's so open.
I think it's this really is new knowledge that is beginning to come forward, especially the last 2 years. We have so much light, so much energy flooding into our planet right now to assist us. And there is so much new knowledge coming through people. It's an amazing time to be alive. But there, the old way has been we are students, and there are a few masters in the world, right? And as a student, we want to make ourselves a lifelong student of this master. That's the old way, right?
Okay.
There's a few people that are special and amazing, and the best we can do is be their students. And I believe that we are all here to be our own masters. And that as part of that, everyone else is God or source just like us. And so we will be led to people that will help us further our own self-mastery. But it's very important to recognize when we're being asked to move on. And from our human perspective, we will feel like that's disloyal, there's something wrong with us. But the only way that our soul and our God self within can continue to grow, and that you can really do the work that you came here to do, to have some sort of an impact on the world, because we all came here to make some sort of an impact, is to trust that inner guidance when you say, hey, this has been going great, whether this relationship has lasted a week, whether it's lasted a year or 10 years. When you have that feeling that, something's off, most of us try to fix it. Most of us want to get out a big Band-Aid and a lot of ointment and fix it and go and make it better. When in fact, we're being asked to move on. Because this person you have has already imparted the wisdom that they were there to impart in your life. And it's time for you to go trust yourself, whether that means you're going to spend some time without other people guiding you or whether you're being led to the next step. Either way, it's all about trust and self-worth and understanding that that never is going to come from another person, like you just said.
Perfect. Lovely. Absolutely. I couldn't have put it better or into nicer words. You know, a couple of questions come from that because the whole concept is very new, isn't it? You know, because we're taught that relationships should last forever and ever and that we should do whatever we can to fix them, and moving on is a bit of a cop out because we should stay there and fight for the relationship.
We're taught it's selfish, right?
We are, aren't we? And that one word, selfish, you know, I mean, for us, you know, it comes across such a negative word, and it's such a perfect word because it shouldn't be negative at all. It should be, if you're in the right place, the people around you will be in the right place too. So you should be selfish. You should be able to feel good about who you are and put your needs first, because then you become the best version of who you are. And it works better for you because that's how it works.
For everyone around you too.
Everyone around you. Totally, totally agree. And it's one of those things that is a very easy statement to make, isn't it? Unless you've thought it through. Because there'll be some time where your children will grow up and you being the you know, the really good mum that you are, you'll teach them independence and how to get on with their lives without you. And that attachment to them will become either different or it'll be a different dimension of your life and different times in your life. And that's a tough one to come to terms with. But as a mum, teaching a child independence is the top skill. It's beyond anything else, isn't it? Because it means that when you've passed into spirit, they'll be able to cope with life without you being around. And that is a fantastic thing to be able to understand within yourself. Mm-hmm. Because that's not about you. That's about somebody else. And that is the archetypal purity of being selfless, isn't it? So
I love that because I am already so proud of who my children will be. It's not something I never go vision their future because I believe that's theirs to create, their decisions to make, but I am so proud of who they will be and how they will not need me. I give them everything right now so that they will be so secure as adults and be able to stand on their own two feet. And I hope that they know that they are loved whether they want to stay around me or not. It's not going to matter because, like you said, my goal is to make them independent children. And this is not something that 10 years ago when I thought of having children, the idea was very much, well, I want to have kids and that'll be so great because when I'm old, they can take care of me. And now it's like, well, I would never even dream. No, when I'm old, I'm going to be so proud of them. And I'm going to, if they want help watching their children and their grandchildren, I hope that I'm there to give them that assistance. You know?
Oh, you'll be there. You'll be there in abundance. tell me the story about the superhuman body, because that's a really nice sort of little entree into, you know, your daughter and the things that go on with the way that you think and the way that you talk to your children. And there was a time when
I know in general I explain to them, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but in general I'm always explaining to them that their bodies are so magical and that they will heal anything that they need. They
what
can
I'm referring
do.
To absolutely, that's what I'm referring to. And you were talking about your daughter hurting her foot. And you actually said that I told her that she had a superhero body. That's what it was.
Oh, superhero. Yes, superhero.
Yeah, that's it. I got my hero and my human the wrong way around. Yeah, forgive me. But yeah, tell me about the superhero body, because I think there's a lot of people listening who can relate to that.
Well, I can tell you it makes my mother, their grandma, roll her eyes all the time and get exasperated with me because I'm not behaving the way a mother should behave, right? So when they fall or get hurt, well, based on my mom's perception. So exactly. when they fall or get a scrape or bump their head, I don't say, oh no, I don't panic. This is somewhere where I'm very patient and I say, okay, well, it's gonna get better, right? Everything always gets better. Your body gets better so quickly. And that's it. And they know that. They know when they get hurt now, this was probably a year ago you were watching that interview from that you're referencing.
And it was this morning.
It was recorded, when they were younger, So they're just about to turn 3 and 5.
Okay.
And so she and my 5-year-old Maddie, she knows when she gets hurt, she doesn't have to worry. She doesn't. So she might cry or be unhappy and I'll hold her. But at the same time, it's not this thing where, oh no, I'm bleeding or oh no, whatever. It's like, oh, she always says now, I'm so glad my body's good at healing. She says that whenever she gets hurt and she just knows it, right? And I think that is such a gift. Instead of, my mom, my mom takes them for a walk, she's every 5 steps, she's saying, don't fall, don't run too fast, you fall. And I'm just thinking, she's creating them falling. And I say, don't worry, you don't fall very often. If you fall, you'll be fine. And so we're deciding what our children think.
See, I think you should write a book on that. I think that's
somebody else told me that too.
Did they tell you that? See, now that's twice. One more person to tell you.
You
need to get writing. But what it does, see, it gives a different perspective onto bringing up children or bringing children's thought process and being able to share with them some insights that will probably go with them through their parenting and their parenting through that. And it just gives a different perspective of how we look at life. Because we don't need to follow the old well-trodden paths to get it right. People think we should, but we don't need to. We can create our own paths and we can visualize our own understanding of children, because the children that we're caring for, that you're caring for now, are going to be the children that enter into this world that is probably going to be multidimensional. It's probably going to be very much aware of extraterrestrial life. It's going to be already aware that angels exist, which are extraterrestrial by nature because they're not born on Earth. So they're going to have a wider perspective on life to what we've had, much wider. So tell me, can you give me a little bit of your understanding of what your angels are? Because I hear you talking about angels as well a fair bit, and I would love to hear what your take on them is.
Okay, well, I see angels as being other beings that have been created by God, source creator, right? And they have probably in many instances been in some sort of a more firm physical world situation than we currently are and have had that experience in other lifetimes and have now sort of ascended to where they are much higher vibrational and they are in between, they're existing in the non-physical, but they're, so it's just a much higher vibrational being.
Okay.
But we have full access to them. And their purpose very much is to help other beings. And this is for all the benevolent beings that are of the higher vibrations. Their purpose is to help beings like us that are existing in a more solid physical world reality that don't have access to the higher dimensions or don't know how to access the higher dimensions to help us unlock that for ourselves so that we can one day ascend to those higher vibrations and help others in that same way. And I think there's two ways that when we really want to fully work with angels or other beings of the highest vibration, that we unlock that ability. And I see it really as a key that when you get these two together, you're fitting it in the lock. And because you can access the angelic realm without this key that I'm about to tell you, but you fully access their ability to work with you completely when you do these two things. And the first thing is being heart-centered, right? having your heart wide open, and you're there for the good of all, not just for yourself, but for the good of all that is. Okay, that's what I see as being heart-centered, and the other thing is being fully in your sovereignty, saying that those angels are not above you, they're not better than you. And so once you do that, they open fully to you, and you can really start working with them as equals.
Okay, so and they're created on the same vibrational, but they're just that little bit higher on the vibrational understanding of what it is to be a sentient being.
So I don't see them as even remarkably near the human vibration. I see them much vibrationally. I see them being, you know, so much higher. That is what I see.
That's so interesting. But you don't see them as being superior. You see them as being
absolutely
equals.
Not. And I think that's the old view, the old thinking, and they are here to unlock us to our sovereignty and our own power, and to fully work with them. They will assist us from that, us looking up to them, us seeing them as better or more powerful, but to fully unlock what's available, it's all about showing them that we are deciding and determining and declaring that we're stepping into our sovereignty and that we're ready to work with them as equals. And that's when things start going, whoa.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think the intent has to be on the right level, and love and openness, which is the only, you know, to me, love is the only universal truth. And that if we vibrate, or if we reach that frequency of just pure love with no agendas, no worries, no issues, then the angels are much more likely to be around us and much more likely to be able to be accessed. It's just like tuning in your soul into a different vibration, but it can be, I think, that we are all part of the same cycle. I think we can actually be, as much as anything, other beings and other planets. I think our souls have many different lifetimes on many different planets right across probably the multiple universes. And, you know, what we call angels are just evolved spiritual beings. Yeah, that's what I
well
see,
you
right?
said it so succinctly. That's exactly what I was trying to say, but that is exactly what I see. Evolved spiritual beings, right? They have had many different experiences, many more physical than they're currently having, but now they ascended and they're helping us from there. But like you said, when I am accessing the angelic realm, or if I'm accessing ascended masters, I'm very specific that I want the highest vibrational option, right? So if I want to connect with, say, if I wanted to connect with Jesus, I want highest vibrational Jesus, because I do not want a past life Jesus when he wasn't in that frequency and vibration. So I'm so specific, and I teach all my students to be so specific, because otherwise it's all about our intent. And if our intent isn't clear, we can access all kinds of things that we aren't prepared to handle.
So if I was to paraphrase that sentence, be careful what you ask for. Yeah.
Just understand that when we're dealing with the spiritual world, we can access all of it, including the things that we don't want to access. And so we want to be very specific that we're looking to bring in the highest vibrations.
Okay. I think that we can access, and we can go back, and we can revisit, and we can go forward and revisit. I don't think that we have limits through time. I think that's an illusion. And I think that as long as we understand that time is an illusion, then we can retrace and retrack and re-go back forwards. And as you said, right at the beginning of our chat this evening, is that you see that we are human, we are mortal, we make mistakes. We get things wrong. We don't do everything. We don't realize everything. We don't realize our own power from birth. So we have a possibility, if we're right, let's just say that we are right about this, and that, you know, we've pretty got it tied up and pretty much to the point, is that we can do whatever we want whenever we want. Even if we've done it before, we can do it again. Yeah.
Oh, so, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
So really what we're saying is there is no mistakes in life.
I don't believe there's ever a mistake. Yeah. I believe that. I just feel like the heavens opened and the angels are singing, like, when you said that, because yes, no truer words have ever been spoken. There are no mistakes. It is all this beautiful universal symphony.
Doesn't it make it
And
amazing? Doesn't it? Doesn't it make it? Isn't it a fantastic revelation to people? Is you cannot get it wrong. Because if you get it wrong, you can go and make it right. So go and
Absolutely.
enjoy. Go and have fun. Go and do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. Because you get a chance to put it right.
Yeah,
Now, if
absolutely.
people knew that, do you think they would stop being scared about giving up their jobs or going and doing something that they really wanted to do, traveling or visiting or even trying out for something that they never thought they had a chance of trying out for?
Well, I think people will hear what they're ready to hear when they're ready to hear it. And I think that that's exactly as it should be. I think that there's a lot of thoughts about us wanting to show other people the way, right? And I find for myself that the best way I can show other people the way is simply to be a beacon of light. And the people that are ready will come to me when they're ready, and I can help them then. But I so firmly believe that there are no accidents and there are no coincidences. And that means that everyone who is completely asleep to the truths of the world, to the deep, dark spiritual truths of the world, they are exactly where they're supposed to be. And it's not our job to fix it for them, you know?
Yeah, sure, I get that. I think that's a good thing to actually understand. And I also think that we go back and repeat lifetimes. I honestly believe that. I've done a lot of research into people that have been accidentally taken, passed into spirit, and they find themselves back in the same scenario. And they can repeat and repeat and repeat until they get it right. And there's evidence that has actually been presented to show that. So even if you get taken out too soon, if you walked out of your house today and a bolt of lightning hits you, well, Erin can come back and start doing the same stuff all over
Yeah.
again. It's something that
You
is.
know, I love that train of thought, and I often like to think of it as, how do we know that the moments before this have actually happened, or that we weren't just awakened right this very second? The previous 57 minutes of this conversation could have happened many lifetimes ago, and we could have been dropped in right now. And so true for all of your listeners too. How do we know that's not true? The only thing we can be sure of is this very now moment. And I love
It's
thinking about
so, I love
these
that too. That really,
things.
it really does. And you mean I've been very interested in past life regression therapy and even future life progressive therapy, because I think if we can go back, we can go forward. And I love the fact that we can do that. And I also love the fact that if we look out for the signs, because we know this stuff, we're going to leave ourselves little signs all over the place to say, don't do this, do this, go there, don't go there. And we're going to do that. We're going to leave those little signs in great big letters right across the whole of the boards of our minds. So we get to see that. Yet we call it intuition. Yeah, I think we get to actually access some things that we've done previously and that haven't
Well, that's
really
so
been.
interesting. I have never heard that idea before, but I love it. I
It's
love it.
brilliant.
It makes so much sense where I mean, I know I've experienced over and over and over going back or going forward and leaving things from my now. And so yeah, I mean, I feel like that's just an expansion of it. That's so cool to think about. I'm totally geeking out right now.
It's brilliant. We'll have a chat about it at some point. But the really interesting thing for me is that if we look for the signs, then there is no deja vu, right? It's all
Yeah.
about us being able to be aware. And signs are everywhere. Signs are everywhere for us if we learn to actually recognize those
Yeah.
signs.
If we're willing to see
Yes.
them,
Yeah,
right? And not think they're coincidences.
absolutely. Yeah. So can you imagine? I just love the ideas of all this being a part of our soul connection to where we are, and the fact that we probably have had this conversation before, but also we may have had it in a different way, on a different, on a different platform. So everything is possible when you open your minds to it. So, Erin, we're coming to the end. This hour's gone so fast.
Yeah.
It's gone so fast. I've got one more question for you before we go. But before I ask you that question, tell me your book, your website, anything you're doing at this moment in time, and anything you want to get across so people can come and have a really good look at you and even connect to you and, enjoy speaking with you themselves, maybe. So give me all the
Thank
information.
you. Okay, thank you. So erinworley.com. And then I have an amazing 4-day masterclass that I did just a few months ago called Awaken the God Within, which is magical. So that's erinworley.com/awaken. So I highly, highly recommend. It's completely free and it was absolutely amazing. And then my
Terrific.
book is on Amazon. I also teach light work, quantum light work. I have Quantum Light Work Academy, which is an amazing experience. So that's me.
Well, you're a very amazing lady, and it's been absolute pleasure talking to you. And I wish we could have gone on for hours and hours and hours. I'm sure you've got other things to do and other bits and pieces. My final question to you is one of the final questions that I ask all of my guests that come on to Twisted and Misunderstood is what was the last piece of music that you listened to?
Well, I listen to mostly instrumentals. So I listen to so many instrumentals and I'm afraid I don't know the names of it. So yeah, that's what I do. I listen to beautiful instrumentals, especially ones that have been imbued with healing energy. I guess the last one I listened to is probably Regan Hillier, and she's an amazing, beautiful, expansive energy worker. And she has really, really beautiful instrumental high vibrational music.
Just
So,
repeat the name again so people can actually pick up on that.
Reagan Hillier,
Okay,
highly
so,
recommend.
well, that's great because that's what my listeners love to hear because they love to discover, because we've all got a real personal attachment to music in our lives and it all plays a certain role, but we're all diverse. And that, I've never heard of Regan Hillier before, so I'm going to go away and Google her and see what her music's like. And it gives me a little sense of who you are and the personality that is you. And so thank you for being a real
Thank you.
fantastic guest, and thank you for coming here on Twisted and Misunderstood. I'm sure that you'll get quite a lot of contact through the UK and hopefully through the United States as well.
Thank you, Dominic. Thank you.